Thursday, May 7th, 11:24 a.m. Bergdorf Goodman. Normally, at this time, I'd be in French class at Cranbrook Middle School. But instead, I'm in a fancy department store getting fitted for a whole new wardrobe because Grandma says the eyes of the entire world are on me right now, and it's my time to shine. This isn't at all scary. Yes, it is a little scary. We had to sneak out of the delivery doors of the hotel through the kitchen just to avoid the paparazzi, who are still waiting out front. It's insane. I've already learned more things about being a princess in just a few hours than I've learned the whole 5 years I've been taking French class. Like, that when you're a princess, you can't say, "What?" when you don't understand something. You're supposed to say, "I beg your pardon," or "Excuse me?" Also, that it's rude when you're a princess to put ketchup on things before you've even tasted them. It's an insult to the chef's cooking. You have to taste it first, then decide if it is not seasoned enough to your particular liking. Only then may you ask for the ketchup, which, it turns out, room service has to bring all the way from downstairs, so it takes a really long time if you live in the penthouse. I don't know how I'm ever going to remember all this stuff, which is why it's good I have this notebook to write it all down in, especially considering that this morning when I woke up, I didn't even know where I was. Then I looked down and saw Snowball curled up beside my head and Rommel stretched out by my feet and the sun shining through the fancy windows leading to a balcony looking out over Central Park. Central Park in New York City! And I remembered everything that had happened yesterday. And I was like, I'm at my dad's, with my grandma. And this is her dog. And this is her other dog that has no hair. And they want me to come live with them in Genovia, the country of which I am also a princess. And then I nearly fell over dead of a heart attack. But fortunately, I was still in bed, so I didn't have very far to fall. I could smell toast, real toast. So I hurried up and brushed my teeth and got dressed and went out into the dining room. And there was Grandma reading the paper in her robe in front of a table with more food piled onto it than I'd ever seen, including piles and piles of warm golden waffles, gobs of fluffy whipped cream, bowls of glistening red strawberries, silver pitchers of real maple syrup, crystal goblets of orange juice, eggs and soldiers, which are soft-boiled eggs and strips of toast. I'd never had this last thing before, but it turns out what you do is you crack open the top of the shell of the soft-boiled egg, then dip a strip of the buttery toast into the warm, gooey egg yolk. It's the most delicious thing in the whole world. Well, aside from the waffles. And in the end, it turned out not to even need ketchup. Anyway, as I was eating the biggest, best breakfast I had ever had with Snowball at my side, Grandma put down the paper and said,
"Your father has a conference call with the Genovian Parliament, and your sister has a personal appointment, so I am taking you shopping."
"Shopping? What about school?"
"School? Why are you worrying about school? You haven't decided you want to stay in New Jersey, have you?"
"Grandma," I said, "New Jersey is my home state. I was born there. You have to stop saying it that way."
"What way?"
"Like it's a dirty word." She shrugged and passed a bit of bacon to Rommel, who was crouched beside her chair.
"Fine. If you love New Jersey so much that you want to live there for the rest of your life and never travel the world or have new experiences, far be it from me to stop you."
"I didn't say that. I've decided I want to live in Genovia with you and Dad and Princess Mia, but..." Grandma almost smiled, but not all the way. Her mouth doesn't really move all that much. Princess Mia told me this is because she's had a lot of work done.
Well, if that's the case, why are you worrying about your old school? You'll be attending the Royal Genovian Academy from now on. But as we haven't enrolled you yet, they can hardly count you as absent.
Yes, but I'm still enrolled at my old school, and if I don't show up there today, they'll mark it as an unexcused absence, and I'll get a demerit.
A demerit?
She asked in astonishment.
Merely for enjoying a day of shopping with your grandmother?
Shopping isn't an excusable absence. An excusable absence is like when my friend Nishi's grandmother got sick with appendicitis and had to go to the hospital. Nishi was allowed to skip school to visit her because that was an emergency. Shopping isn't an emergency.
It most certainly is,
Grandma said, looking offended.
We can't allow you to go about in that anymore.
She pointed at my school uniform.
The paparazzi will undoubtedly photograph you again today, and then think we are cruelly mistreating you by providing you with only one outfit. How is that not an emergency?
That's when she showed me the front page of the paper she was reading. That's me, I cried, dropping my toast. It was okay, though, because Rommel and Snowball snatched it up, even though it landed butter side down on the floor.
Yes, she said, it is. So is this.
She lifted up another newspaper from the pile beside her and showed me its front page as well. Sixth grade sensation. Pint-sized princess from New Jersey, second in line to Genovian throne. Fortunately, this time I wasn't holding any food I could drop. Wow, was all I could think of to say. I couldn't help wondering if Annabelle Jenkins had seen the paper. If so, I bet she was pretty upset about it. It had to be killing her that I was the one being called a sixth grade sensation and not her. Not all the papers had such flattering headlines about me, though. I hoped Annabelle didn't see those. Some of the reporters were still writing mean things, like that my dad had purposefully kept me hidden away in Cranbrook all these years, so his mom, the Genovian people, and the press wouldn't find out about me, because I was his shameful secret. This was so not what had happened. Well, it was. I'd definitely been hidden away in Cranbrook, but not because I was anyone's shameful secret. Grandma must have noticed me getting upset, since she said,
Part of the job of being a royal is receiving a great deal of attention from the press. Your face on the cover of any newspaper or magazine will help it to sell. But you can't expect everything written about you to be positive.
But some of it isn't even true. Grandma looked amused.
My dear, being half American yourself, you must know that the American people's right to express their opinions is guaranteed by something called the First Amendment. Until those opinions are found to be proven factually incorrect, they can go on expressing them as long as they like.
I did know this, but it still didn't seem fair. Well, can we please prove their opinions factually incorrect?
Of course. In due time, we shall issue a statement. In the meantime, we need to take you shopping. When you look your best, you feel your best. And no one could possibly feel their best in that.
She pointed at my skirt. Fine, Grandma, I said with a sigh. But like I said, I'm pretty sure Dr. Bushy won't allow clothes shopping as an excused absence.
And what, pray tell, is a Bushy?
He's not a what, Grandma. He's a who. He's the principal of my school. I'd like to prove my haters factually incorrect by leaving Cranbrook without any demerits, if that's okay with you.
It's Grandmère, not Grandma. And don't be ridiculous. Princesses can't get demerits. but I will telephone this bushy person if you're so worried and explain the situation.
Grandma, I mean Grandmère, calling the CMS administrative office was probably one of the weirdest things I'd ever witnessed, and I'd witnessed a lot of weird things in the past 24 hours.
Hello, is this Cranbrook Middle School?
Grandmère asked after I dialed for her, because she isn't very good at using phones, even regular ones.
Oh yes, quite, very well. How do you do? This is the Dowager Princess Clarice Rinaldo of Genovia, phoning on behalf of my granddaughter, Princess Olivia Grace Clarice Mignonette Harrison. I would like to speak to Dr. Bushy. I beg your pardon? He's in a meeting? Well, please inform him that my granddaughter will not be able to attend school today, as she is in dire need of a new wardrobe. Thank you.
I'm pretty sure Mrs. Singh, the school administrative aide, probably thought that was a crank call, but Grandmère hung up before she could ask. Then Grandmère went to put on her face, which is what she calls putting on her makeup, and get dressed. Now we're here in this store, assembling my wardrobe with the help of Grandmère's personal stylist, which is really just a fancy name for a lady who works in the store, but is only in charge of one customer, my grandma. And now me. Grandmère's personal stylist, Brigitte, is super nice, especially since she allows dogs in her store. Grandmère let me bring Snowball, since she brought Rommel. But I don't know how anyone would think trying on clothes for over 4 hours is fun. Maybe someone interested in fashion like Annabelle Jenkins or Sarah would, but not me. Although Grandmère says that fashion is important because it immediately communicates to others your sense of style, which I have not yet had a chance to cultivate, having been forced to wear a uniform to school for most of my life, and even helps boost your self-esteem. But my self-esteem is not feeling so boosted right now, since in the last 2 hours, Brigitte has made me try on, and then Grandmère has bought 10 pairs of pants, all kinds, from jeans to what Brigitte calls casual slacks, 11 skirts, flared to fitted, 30 dresses. According to my grandma, princesses need quite a lot of dresses, as they are always being called upon to attend formal occasions, be they polo matches, balls, or benefits to raise awareness of the shrinking ice shelves. More shoes than I can count, from boots to loafers to dancing slippers to what Grandmère calls trainers, which I later found out are sneakers. I don't know what she thinks I'm training for, other than being a princess. Underwear, 20 pairs, which, fortunately, Brigitte did not make me try on, though Grandmère did go on for quite a long time about the importance of breathability and all cotton until I wanted to die. Some things Grandmère called foundation garments, but which I finally realized were bras. My new grandma made me try on bras right in front of her, like I even have anything to put in them. Fortunately, Brigitte realized this, and so really they were only what Nishi calls sports bras and Brigitte called training bras. Still, I wanted to die again. Socks, 20 pairs. Layering tees, 10. Sweaters, 10. It is always warm in Genovia, Grandmère said, but apparently I am going to learn to ski. Long sleeve blouses and shirts, 20. And Grandmère wouldn't even let me get shirts that said anything on them, such as Who Farted in Sparkles, which I thought would be hilarious, but she did not. What Grandmère called outerwear, coats and jackets. And finally, accessories, hats, gloves, and bags, but no jewelry, because as Grandmère said, you're going to have access to the finest collection of crown jewels in all of Europe. Really, it was all just too much, and after a while, I wanted to yell, stop! I hardly have any clothes outside my school uniform anyway, and I kind of like it that way, because sometimes too many choices are confusing. So I said I needed to take a break, and Brigitte looked at me with kind of a concerned expression and asked if I wanted some water, and I said yes, and she brought me a glass on a silver tray, and now I'm drinking it in here, alone, and writing this. Having a family of your own and being a princess is fun and all, but parts of it are very exhausting and confusing and even a little embarrassing. Thursday, May 7th, 3:45 p.m. Limousine. Olive Grace. Hey, it's me. I finally got my own phone. Nishi Girl. No way. I'm so excited for you. Where are you? Why weren't you in school today? Everyone was talking about you. LOL. I went shopping with my grandmother. That is not an excusable absence. I know. I was afraid I was going to get a demerit. They can't give you a demerit. You're a princess. That's what my grandma said. LOLOLOL. We saw you on the news last night. You are everywhere. Ugh, I know. They're saying terrible things. None of them are true. LOL, I know that. It was your mom who didn't want you to know. How did you know that? Because Annabelle said so yesterday, remember? Oh, right. I forgot. A lot has happened since yesterday. Also, because your sister just said it on TV. She did? When? Just now. How could you not know? You royals need to communicate more. Really? I'm with her in the limo right now. Really? It must have been pre-taped. What are you doing? My grandma just tried to take me to a fancy beauty salon for a makeover, but Princess Mia found out and showed up and stopped her before they could do anything more than give me spiral curls. Why? She said I don't need one. She says I'm beautiful just the way I am. Aw, it's true. Thank you. You're beautiful just the way you are, too. Thanks, I know. But I'd like a makeover anyway. I want to get my nose pierced and my hair dyed purple. You would look so good with a pierced nose and purple hair. But your grandmother would kill you. I bet yours would, too, especially considering she's a princess and so are you. But you'd just have to explain that princesses can have pierced noses and purple hair and still be regal. True. So what are people saying at school? Mostly how cool it is that you're a princess, except Sarah. She says you are ungrateful. Ungrateful? For what? For everything her dad has done for you. What? What has her dad ever done for me? I know. I was like, you mean not getting her a cell phone or computer when both you and Justin have one? Or not taking her for rides in one of his stolen Ferraris? No, you didn't. Yes, I did. What did Sarah say? She didn't say anything. She got so mad, she got up and went to go sit at Annabelle's table. No. Yes, and Annabelle let her sit there. Great. So now there's an official I Hate Olivia lunch table at school. Oh, what do you care? You are the Princess of Genovia. I know. Guess what? My sister is getting married and asked me to be a junior bridesmaid in her royal wedding this summer. Smiley face! Exclamation! And guess what else? You're invited too. Heart, smiley face, heart, smiley face, heart, smiley face, heart! Exclamation! And guess what else? My dad asked me to come live with him in Genovia. X_X, arrow, that's me. I'm dead now. You just killed me with happiness for you. No, don't die. I need you to help me. You're the princess expert.
It's true, I am. And it's great to be able to text you about it now. But I'm still going to miss you. I'm going to miss you, too. But my dad says you can come visit any time. Your family, too. He'll send the royal jet for you, so it will be free. Heart smiley face, heart smiley face, heart smiley face, heart smiley face! Exclamation points! So, I guess that means you'll come? Of course! I've always wanted to see the inside of a palace. A real one, not the Beauty and the Beast one at Disney World. Well, now you're going to get to. We're both going to get to. This is so great. I'm going to ask my mom, but I'm sure she'll say yes because Genovia has no human rights violations and doesn't treat women like second-class citizens, unlike Caliph. Well, that's a relief. Oops, I gotta go. We're back at the hotel. Text you later. Text you later, Your Royal Highness. Thursday, May 7th, 8:45 p.m., my old room, Cranbrook, New Jersey. I am sitting in my old room crying as I write this, so if you see any blobby marks on the page, that's what they are. Also, Snowball keeps trying to lick up my tears, so if you see any wrinkle marks, they're from her paws. But mostly, they're tears. I'm crying because when we got back to the hotel, something horrible happened. It's not my dad's fault. He did the best he could. But sometimes, even if you're a princess, things don't go your way. Sometimes, all the brain power, nice clothes, and royal bodyguards in the world can't save you. When I walked into the living room with Grandmère and Mia, I was totally surprised to see Aunt Catherine and Uncle Rick sitting there with my dad. In some distant part of my brain, I thought maybe they'd come to tell me how glad they were for me finally reuniting with my dad and me turning out to be a princess. Until I saw Annabelle's dad, Mr. Jenkins, sitting there with them. Then I knew that probably wasn't why they were here. It turned out I was right. Uncle Rick stood up and said in a very mean voice,
"Finally, there she is. Olivia, get your things. You're going home right now."
No, "Hi, Olivia, how are you?" Or, "Gee, Olivia, it's great to see you." Just, "Get your things. You're going home right now." I said, "I know I missed school today, but it was an excused absence. Grandmère totally phoned in."
"I don't care,"
Uncle Rick said.
"Go and get your things."
"Rick," Aunt Catherine said. She looked like she'd been crying. "Must you?"
That's when my step-uncle told her to shut up, and that it was all her fault for being stupid enough to have let me leave Cranbrook with Princess Mia in the first place. Then my dad stood up and said something very mean to Uncle Rick for telling my aunt to shut up, and Princess Mia took my hand and said, "Let's go into the other room." And we both stepped out onto the balcony, and she started pointing out landmarks in Central Park in a way that I could tell meant she did not want me to overhear what was happening in the other room. "Did I get you in trouble?" I asked her nervously.
"You?"
She looked surprised. "Of course not. It's just grown-up stuff. Don't worry about it." I hate it when adults say this, like I'm not old enough to understand, because obviously this involved me, and I had a right to know what was going on. "But why is Uncle Rick so mad?" I asked. "And why is Mr. Jenkins here? I thought Aunt Catherine wrote you that permission slip saying it was all right for me to come with you to New York."
"She did," she said with a sigh, "but things have gotten a bit more complicated."
And then she told me something that made me want to throw up everything we'd had for lunch at a restaurant that my grandmother said was her favorite, the Four Seasons. But they didn't serve food from the Four Seasons, such as watermelon, pumpkin pie, beef stew, and chocolate Easter bunnies, which was disappointing. It turns out Nishi had been right all along, only it wasn't just the two Ferraris. All the trips to New York City that I never got to go on, the cell phones and laptops and flat-screen TVs for everyone's room but mine. Not to mention all that fancy carpeting that would only have been ruined by the pet I'd always wanted and was forbidden to have. All of it. They'd stolen all of it from me. Nothing's been proven yet, Princess Mia went on carefully. The Royal Genovian Guard is still investigating. It was only when you mentioned in one of your letters to Dad that you were moving to Caliph that anyone even became suspicious. But we believe your aunt and uncle have been using money meant for you to fund their business, which simply isn't right. In that moment, something shifted, and I felt as if I finally understood what Ms. Dakota had been saying about perspective. The new information acted like a vanishing point, and suddenly, everything I knew about Aunt Catherine and Uncle Rick lined up, and I could see the truth about them. It wasn't a very nice truth. It was one I'd been trying hard not to let myself see. "That's why they want me back, isn't it?" I asked, looking up at Princess Mia. "They don't want to give up the money Dad sends for me every month." "No," she said quickly. "I'm sure that's not true. Your aunt loves you very much." I shook my head. "Aunt Catherine, love me?" She may have tried to make it look that way on the outside. She fed me and gave me clothes and let me live in a house that was pretty to look at. But if she loved me, why had she never once hugged me? I'd already gotten hugged more in one day living with my dad and Princess Mia than I had in all the years I'd lived with Aunt Catherine, not to mention eaten more gluten. But I didn't bring this up. Instead, I asked, "So then why did they bring Mr. Jenkins with them?" "They hired Mr. Jenkins a few days ago when we began questioning their right to take you to Caliph," she said. That explained a lot, like how Annabelle had overheard her dad talking about my being a princess. "Your aunt still has legal guardianship of you, however," Mia said, looking worriedly at the French doors. "So if she's changed her mind and refuses to allow you to stay with us any longer, there's nothing we can do, at least for now. But I promise that Dad will never rest until he gets permanent custody of you. It just might." I don't know where it came from, but suddenly this voice I'd never heard before burst out of me. It said, "No!" I ran back inside from the terrace and threw my arms around my father's waist and yelled, "I won't! I won't go back with them to New Jersey!" Dad hugged me and patted me on my newly styled head and leaned down to whisper, "Be brave, Olivia. It may take a while, but we'll figure this whole thing out and make it right." Be brave? They're always expecting princesses to be brave in books and movies. It always turns out all right. But that's because there's usually ray guns or magic involved. There isn't any magic in real life, or ray guns either. And no matter how much brain power you have, it doesn't work against the law, like when someone, such as my Aunt Catherine, is your legal guardian. And how long is a while? No one ever tells you. The only good part is that when I went to hug Grandmère goodbye, she said, "Don't forget this," and handed me Snowball on a leash. I had already been crying, but I really started crying when that happened. "But Grandmère," I said, "she's your dog, not mine."
"Don't be ridiculous," Grandmère said. "She's yours now. She positively adores you. She'd be miserable without you."
Uncle Rick tried to say something about his allergies, but Grandmère gave him a look that caused him to shut his mouth and not say another word until we were in the car driving back to Cranbrook, and even then it was only to complain about the fact that he thought we were being followed. I turned around and looked, but I couldn't see what he was talking about, and Aunt Catherine told him to stop being so silly, that we'd left the hotel through the delivery door in order to avoid the reporters out front, and walked 4 blocks to the car, since Uncle Rick wouldn't pay for valet parking. and I'd worn one of Dad's old ski caps as a disguise so no one could possibly have recognized me, and that she had a headache. So now I am back in my old room, in my old house, and it is like it was all a dream. The only proof I have that any of it ever happened is that I can flip through the pages of this notebook and see what I wrote and drew. And of course, Snowball, who was asleep on my lap. Well, there's also Sarah, who keeps stopping by my room to show me paparazzi photos of me on her cell phone. Uncle Rick took my cell phone away. He says it isn't safe for me to have it because I am too inexperienced and it might get hacked, so he is keeping it for now. All Justin wants to know is what it was like to ride in a limo. "Good," I said. "I got to drink all the soda I wanted."
"Soda is fattening,"
Justin said. "You would know," I said.
"Are you calling me fat?"
he asked. "Your head is."
"You think you're so great," he said, "just because you're a princess."
"No," I said. "I think I'm so great because I am."
"You better watch it," he said, "or tomorrow you're gonna get it."
"You better watch it," I said, "or someday I'm going to put you in my dungeon and never let you out, and all they're going to find are bones." He didn't look very scared. He saw Snowball lick some of my tears and said,
"Dogs have more germs in their mouths than buttholes,"
and walked away. I know it is wrong to hate people, but I hate Justin. I don't hate Sarah, though, because she complimented my new hair, which Princess Mia had allowed Paolo, Grandmère's beautician, to style into spiral curls. "It's basically just like your old hair, only more organized." Maybe when I wake up tomorrow morning, this will have been a nightmare, and I'll be back in the guest room at the plaza. Probably not, though.